Hello, and thank you for joining us for Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. How many Bibles do you have on your bookshelf? There was a time when reading the Bible was prohibited, and those who sought to bring the original text into English for the common man were quite literally executed. No surprise that that period in history was known as the Dark Ages. In the modern day, we take its existence for granted, but the Bible is not just a book for the shelves of good households. It's the Word of God Himself and one of the key ways in which God communicates to us. Tonight, Dr. Corbett is taking a look at how important it is that we read the Word of God. Let's join Dr. Corbett now as he speaks about memorizing the Bible.
Come and speak to us now. Help us to hear and receive. May we be enlightened by your word right now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What can you do with God's word? You can read it. You can speak it. Share it. Study it. And you can memorize it. Perhaps the last time you memorized scripture was when you were in Sunday school or kids' church. It's a great thing that our kids' church workers do in helping children to memorize scripture. It will stand them in good stead for the rest of their life. Dr. Howard Hendricks of Dallas Seminary once said that if it was his decision, every student graduating from his seminary, theological seminary, would be required to learn 1,000 verses, word perfect, before they graduated. How would you go? Dallas Willard, who's becoming quite a popular author, he's professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. In his book, Spiritual Formation in Christ for the Whole Life and the Whole Person, he says this: Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is becoming like Christ. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, includes prayer and fasting and all those things, he says this, I would choose Bible memorization because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's where you need it. How does it get into your mouth? Memorization, says Dr. Dallas Willard. Chuck Swindoll wrote in Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. All because we remember God's word. John Piper wrote this in an article on scripture memorization. One of the reasons Martin Luther came to his great discovery in the Bible of justification by faith alone was that in his early years as an Augustinian, in the Augustinian monastery, he was influenced to love scripture by Johann Storpitz. Luther devoured the Bible in a day when people earned doctorates in theology without even ever reading scripture. Luther said that his fellow professor Andreas Karlstadt did not even own a Bible when he earned his Doctor of Theology degree, nor did he until many years later. Luther knew so much of the Bible from memory that when the Lord opened his eyes to see the truth of justification in Romans 1:17, he said, Thereupon I ran through the scriptures from memory in order to confirm what he had found. Would you please turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 18? Let's see the words of Christ. And ponder this question. When Jesus was ministering, How much of Scripture did he know by heart? You could probably think, oh, that's not fair, he wrote it. But Luke 2:52, I think it is, says that he still had to grow in every normal way that people have to normally grow. And that would have included memorising Scripture. Every young boy was required, in order for him to graduate at his bar mitzvah, which was that process of becoming a man, leaving boyhood from the age of 12, coming into the age of 13, when a Jewish boy was considered to have become a man, he was required to have memorised the first 5 books of the Bible. How many men are here today? And Jesus probably would have had to have gone through that process of memorising the first 5 books in the Bible. Jesus could say this. I just want you to see the big picture point that Jesus is saying here. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? See, Jesus is saying you've read the Scriptures, but you haven't read the Scriptures. You've heard the Scriptures, but you haven't heard the Scriptures. You're supposed to have remembered the Scriptures. You're supposed to have memorized the Scriptures, yet you can't remember them. Jesus is saying that he was, with a touch of surprise, that these guys who claimed to memorize Scripture couldn't remember it. They didn't have it in their heart. One of the surest ways to help in memorizing Scripture is to put it into practice. One of our Bible study groups, the TNT group, led by that inimitable couple in their 20s and 30s, Mark and Wendy, they've taken a passage of Scripture from Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. There are some 27 commands in that paragraph of Scripture. And do you remember the first verse? Do you remember how it goes? Let love. Be sincere. How does it contrast? Let love be sincere. Abhor evil and cling to what is good. Do you, see, I'm just prompting you. You remember it. You've got it, right? Why? Because you've looked at it. You've looked at it and you've considered, how can I obey this? See, memorizing Scripture is made far easier when you're reading it to have your heart, mind and life changed. As a young guy, I was in the habit of going through Scripture and making lists. I still do it. I've randomly opened my Bible here and I've got these. I look at things and I go, yeah, this is what to do. And so when I look at Scripture, this is how I study Scripture, I look at it and I go, this is telling me to let love be genuine, sincere. And recently I heard somebody say, they objected to somebody saying, oh, because some fanatical group was claiming that God hates homosexuals. And they made this blanket comment like, God doesn't hate anything. Is that true? That is so not true. In fact, you don't love anything unless you know what you hate. In fact, it's not real love unless you've really defined what you hate. I tell you now, God hates injustice. God hates sin. God hates hypocrisy. And all of those things help us to determine what God loves. And we looked at the prophet Amos, that there's this expression, 6 things the Lord detests. No, 7, it says in Proverbs chapter 6. And it's a way of saying, look, we can't count how many things this list should be, but here's 7. Here's 7 on the list, and these things God detests. Now, the point there is that I look at those and go, well, I want to detest those as well. I look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine, sincere. Hate, it uses a stronger word than the word hate. It uses the word abhor. It's like, ugh! Abhor what is evil. Hate it with everything you've got. Hate evil. We as This church should be known for what we hate. Now, I know that's gonna be like rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way with a lot of you. No, we're nice Christians. We love. Yes, we should. But we should also hate really well. Who wants to improve the way they hate? I do. There are certain things I need to hate more. I need to hate laziness in my life. Who hates laziness in my life? See, we're inspiring. Who would like to hate laziness in their own life? Oh, no one. We'll just hate it in my life. I see where we're going here with this. All right. So Jesus, in Mark 8:18, he expected people to be able to remember things so that their lives would change. In John 14:26, I'm just going to fire some of these out here so that if you're taking notes, you'll write it down. John 14:26, this is what Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." You know what it is to remember something? It means that you knew it in the first place. Did I lose anybody with that piece of revelation? See, if the Holy Spirit's going to bring something to your remembrance, it means that it's there for you to remember. It means that you've read it, you've considered it. Yeah, I've got... So the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance. Jesus is saying, really, if you think it through, he's saying, look, memorize what I've told you. And at the appropriate time, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And so we read, let me see if I can find the reference here. We read the apostles saying, not immediately here, that would be right. Oh no, it is here, it is. Acts 11:16. So the apostles could say this, "And I remembered the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So consider this. Here are the first apostles preaching. All the only Bible they've got is that bit there, Old Testament. In fact, they probably just had the first five books, but they knew a lot of some of the prophets. So they only had that. So what they're going by when they're teaching us the words of Jesus is what they have memorized. So here we have Acts 11:16. "And I remembered what Jesus said." To remember what Jesus said, you've got to know what he said. And to know what he said, you've probably pondered it so that it's in there. You've memorized it. Now, let me give you some practical advice about this. Over the years, I've had a lot of people, whether they're just being nice and polite or what, I don't know, but they've said, "Gee, you've got a good memory." It's like, "Gee, you know, you really lucked in when God gave you the ability to remember." It's like saying to a parent, you know, because I think Kim's a really good parent. And it's like someone saying to a really good parent, "Gee, you're lucky with your kids." Lucky? Come here, I'm going to strangle you. Do you know how much... It's like, lucky's got nothing to do with it. This is discipline. This is the kids pushing the envelope all the time. And we're having to pull them... Well, Kim, don't look at me like that. Kim having to pull them back in and train them. Luck, not luck. It's the result of hard work. So it's not that we're lucky that we've got good kids, and we have got good kids, haven't we, Tyrone? It's that there's been some hard work done here. It's like, "Gee, it's lucky you were blessed with a good memory." No, this is something that we all have the ability to do to one degree or another. And this is what I've found. Those people that are not prepared to stretch in their ability to remember and think will often make excuses as to why they can't and shouldn't and won't try. And it goes something like this. Someone introduces themselves. "Hello, I'm Fred Ungabunga.
I shouldn't have picked Ong Lubun because that's a really easy name to remember. But if it was Fred Brown. And then 10 seconds into this conversation, you're thinking, what are you thinking? What's his name? What did he say his name was?
Fred Ungabunga.
Was it Fred Ungabunga or Fred Brown? I mean, it was like... So, and most of us then meet... we'll go, oh, man, what's this guy's name? I know. I'll just call him mate. Well, that's really good, mate. G'day, mate. And then about 3 years goes by, and we say to somebody, what was that bloke's name again? I don't know, I thought you knew. It's like we're all doing it. And then we go up to them, if we do go up to them, we go, I'm sorry, I'm really, what do we say? I'm lousy with names. I'm, what are the words we use?
How do you spell that?
How do you spell your name again? F-R-E-D. Yeah, I knew. I just wondered if it was a trick. We do. We make excuses like, oh, I'm just no good with names. And what we're doing is we're telling our brain, go back to sleep. Don't try. Don't stretch. Don't grow. So I this morning we had, let's see, I'm counting 1, 5, 9, 10 visitors this morning. And I could probably tell you all their names, including their children. Because I made an effort. Now, let me make a little confession, since today's Confession Sunday. That I did one of those exercises where someone told me the name and I thought I got it. And I said, I'm sorry, what did you say your name was again? And then as soon as they said it to me, I repeated it back to them. His name, her name. And then I heard the mum tell one of the kids off. And I go, yeah. I said, so this boy's name is da-da-da. And he's like really impressed. Like, oh, I remember the name. Well, I didn't. I just heard her yelling at him, you know, like there on the spot. I said, what's your other child's name? Oh, so I've written it down. That's normally what I do. I write it down straight away. Got it. Because it's something really precious when you can come up to somebody the following week and say, g'day, Fred. It's nice to be able to do that. I think it's the same principle with Scripture. Some people say the same sorts of things with Scripture. Oh, I'm really lousy at remembering Scripture. Well, guess how good you're going to get at it if that's how you think. So I found that I was lousy with names. I was lousy with remembering stuff. Lousy, terrible. And so a long time ago, I determined at least this. I was going to try. I was just going to try. And I was going to try and remember Scripture. And I made a decision that in some instances, some Scripture, I wasn't fussed whether I remembered exactly the word for word rendition of it. I wasn't fussed. But what I was going to try and do was remember basically where it was in Scripture and basically what it said. So if I ask, who knows what Romans 8:28 says? Anyone know? Anyone know off the top? Okay, now what if I did this? For we know that all things work and are... Got it. And this is what I found. I found that when I stopped... When I got my memory out of bed each morning and said, no, you're not going to be lazy today. Get out of bed. Come on, try and remember this thing. That my memory was totally unwilling to come along on the journey. I had to kick it, drag it, force it out of bed every morning. It's like a teenager. And so I found that the more I did, the more it stretched. And then a
found it kicked, I'm still working on it. It kicks into gear. Jesus said this, John 16 verse 4. But I've said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. So Jesus again says, I've told these to you. I expect you to remember them. John 16 verse 4. And at the appropriate time, you'll remember them. Peter writing in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2, he says this to the churches of northern Asia Minor, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles. So here Peter has an expectations, and a lot of these guys, in fact most of these guys that he's writing to, were Gentiles. Yes, there were some Jews in what he calls the dispersion, but a lot of these guys were Gentiles. And he's saying, by now you should have memorized the prophets. And so I'm writing these things so that you can remember what the prophets have said. How are we going? You know, I don't fit that. I don't meet that standard. So it seems that there was a great emphasis in the early church on memorizing scripture. If we had the time, we'd look at how they did it. We'd look at how they formed creedal statements, creeds. And you can find in some of our Bibles, the translators help us to understand where there's a creedal statement. A creedal statement is putting thoughts into poetry so that it's easy to recite, easy to remember. We'd also see in Colossians chapter, chapter 4, that it talks about singing psalms one to another. So the New Testament got into the habit of taking scripture and singing it. And one of the things that really blows me away is it actually says that we sing it to one another. And oftentimes we'll read a psalm, and I'll do this, and Jerry, who's not here tonight, but for those of us that remember scripture in song, a lot of times we're reading through something and go, oh, we used to sing that. Like if I said to you, though he fall, he shall. There you go. Yeah, okay, that's enough. So we sing because, but if I asked you to, could you recite some of those psalms? We go, oh no, I wouldn't have a chance. But could you repeat the song? Yes. And that seems to be what the early church did. They would often set scripture to song so that when they gathered, they were singing songs one to another. It helped them to remember. Now, John Piper says there are six reasons why every believer should memorize scripture. His first one is this, and I'll conclude with these six things. Conformity to Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. If we would be changed into Christ's likeness, John Piper says, we must steadily see him. This happens in the Word. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, 1 Samuel 3:21. Bible memorization, says John Piper, has the effect of making our gaze on Jesus steadier and clearer. Secondly, John Piper says, memorizing the Bible helps us to daily triumph over sin. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Paul said that we must, by the Spirit, put to death the sinful deeds of the body. Romans 8, 13. The one piece of armor used to kill is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, 17. As sin lures the body into sinful action, we call to mind a Christ-revealing word of Scripture and slay the temptation with the superior worth and beauty of Christ over what sin offers. Thirdly, daily triumph over Satan. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he recited Scripture from memory and put Satan to flight. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Fourthly, comfort and counsel for people you love. The times when people need you to give them comfort and counsel do not always coincide with the times when you have your Bible handy. Not only that, the very word of God spoken spontaneously from your heart has unusual power. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." This is a beautiful way of saying when the heart is full of God's love, it can draw on the mind full of God's word. Timely blessings flow from the mouth. John Piper continues, number 5, communicating the gospel to unbelievers. Opportunities to share the gospel come when we don't have the Bible in hand. Actual verses of the Bible have their own penetrating power, and when they come from our heart as well as from the book, the witness is given that they are precious enough to learn. We should all be able to sum up the gospel under 4 main headings: God's holiness, law and glory; man's sin, rebellion and disobedience; 3, Christ's death for sinners; and 4, the free gift of life by faith. Learn a verse or 2 relating to each of these and be ready in season and out of season to share them. And 6, John Piper says, this is why every believer should memorize scripture, because it brings us into communion with God in the enjoyment of his person and ways. The way we commune, that is, have fellowship with God, is by meditating on his attributes and expressing to him our thanks and admiration and love, and seeking his help to live a life that reflects the value of these attributes, therefore storing texts in our mind about God helps us to relate to him as he really is. And that's the point of memorizing scripture, that we come to know God more and we are changed as a result. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us now as your people to be able to take your word into our hearts. Lord, each of us have differing abilities to be able to remember things, but Lord, help us to at least try, to at least commit our hearts and minds to you, to allow you to use our hearts, our minds to remember scripture so that we can behold you in your glory. And according to your word, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we, as we do this, as we behold you in our hearts, we will be changed from one degree of glory to the next. So Lord, change us, conform us to the image of Christ, because we know your word in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have there been times when you've been caught off guard? Someone asks you what you believe and why, and you're at a loss to back up your convictions with scripture? Memorising the word, there's common sense in that for our own spiritual growth, as well as our ability to respond to others. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Memorising the Bible, are available from Lagana Media. You can contact us at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277, or via the website findingtruthmatters.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to having you join us at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.